It's time for the Orlando Lions Den podcast with your hosts, JJ, Eddie, Cleon, and Alex Brown.
Rude. That's right. That's the way I feel in this last game. What's happening, guys? And welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jason JJ Jose, along with Alex. What's happening, my man?
What's up? Recovering.
Eddie.
I'm just laughing at that song, man.
You're just Screwed. Laughing at it? Screwed. And then we have Cleon.
Hey, I hate those guys. Screw you, Atlanta United.
Screw you, Atlanta United. Exactly. All right, guys. Very somber Sunday, Mother's Day for all of us. But first, let's thank our sponsors. KC Sports Bar right here in the Heathrow Square in the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center here in Lake Mary. Thanks for letting us be here every Tuesday night. And
we got Field Turf USA. Thanks for being a partner with us. We saw our guy there, Chris Wedge, was at the last match, the Terraces, doing his thing, and we're glad to have him on board.
Very good. Well, we lose to Atlanta United at 2-1. It was a tale of two halves. First half, we did not play very well. Horrible first half for Orlando City. Second half, we finally decided to play a little bit better and basically dominated at the second half, if you ask me. We basically had more possession. We outshot them. We did everything except we even outshined them in getting cards, yellow cards. I want to know you guys what you guys thought of the two different halves. Alex, what was the difference between the first and second half? Was it Jason Christ putting some fire under their butts? What was it?
I don't know. We can make plenty of speculation, I guess, but the fact of the matter is Higuita and Yoshi, you know, both decided to play their worst half of the season at the same time against our rival at home. So when you start those two guys and you're running a 4-2-3-1 and your midfield and really your entire structure of the formation revolves around those two guys and they decide to fall asleep for 40 minutes, 45 minutes, it's going to kill you. You know, you can do that. We've seen that. You know, we've been down in 5 out of 6 games or whatever and come back and win the last 6 in a row. I think the only one we were winning the whole time was the Philadelphia game that we got the shutout in. You know, you can do that against weaker opponents, but you're playing the best team in the league with the most talented team in the league when starting their best 11. And aside from Guzan not being there, they had it out there. So you can't play like that in the first half and expect to win. It was a valiant effort in the second half. I do believe if we would have played both halves the way that we did in the second half, that we would have won. I think Jason Christ did everything that he could do to give us a chance to win the game. I thought he made fantastic subs. I thought he made the right decision starting the starting group. I just think the players underperformed, and that's it. And I was happy with the Uri sub. That came at a perfect time. Coleman came on at a great time, and then I liked the Pino sub as well. So credit to Jason Christ. Just wasn't our night, and we'll move on from here.
Eddie.
Yeah, this matchup is a tough one because of the emotions. A lot of our fans, Orlando City fans on Twitter, are talking about whether the supporters, we put a lot of pressure on them. They sure play like it at first. I don't know if it's the high press or they were just pressing. But we seemed a little bit slow. Just like a step off. We weren't clean with the passes. It didn't play properly or weigh the balls properly with this this wet pitch, right? That was creating a ton of turnovers and counterattacks, and they're a more pacey team. And Higuita, with what happened with him, too, that was just a perfect storm. A team that falls down, that's soft, that dives a lot, with a guy who's aggressive and it hyped up. It was just, it created just a kind of a cluster there of bad stuff. And in the second half, I definitely felt like we were a little more balanced, organized. I don't know if it was Uri the, coming in. The attack looked much better with Colman, to be honest. And I like how Pino comes into the box. And I think Alex is right. Christ made some good substitutions. And I actually feel some kind of encouragement for the second half going forward. If we play like that, we're not going to have the drop like we usually do in the summer. And I think we'll be okay. And it sucks to lose to these guys, but... But, you know, it was just one goal, and I think we're going to bounce back.
Cleon?
Yeah, the first half, it was a little, it was very rough. Like you said, Gita, way too aggressive. It was a lot like the...
Too much party.
The way the first game, where he's a little too hyped to try to prove he should be on the pitch during the first game in New York, comes again... This game a little too amped up for Atlanta, and you can't put your hands on the guy in the box and give them the chance to flop, you know what I mean?
Especially when they're coached by Tata Martino.
I'm sure those guys have been flopping long before him.
They have flop drills.
But they got double penalties than any other team.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's got his back to the goal. I mean, that's one of my pet peeve fouls. Anytime you foul on somebody and they're not even facing the goal, it's ridiculous. There's just no reason for it. You don't. Did he flop? Yes, but I mean, you gave him the opportunity to. And then that second goal, that was all on, Yoshi and Higuita again. Guido's probably a little too worried about trying to counter us and trying to get a turnover and counter. Missed the tackle, got blown by up top and didn't really hustle back to make up ground. Yoshi was already down there and was basically just ball watching. So, I mean, it was all around horrible first half. The rest of the game, though, I mean, they played about as well as you can play without actually putting the ball in the net. We got that one, but shout out to Will Johnson for that, by the way. It was a good, hard shot
yeah,
from
I think,
far.
I think, Alex, you called it last week, right? Just hit a knuckler and just put it in, especially on a rainy day.
On a rainy day, I mean, yeah.
Just take shots. It's going
to
bounce
I think
off.
Our guys, they try and just rock. They feel like they have to have some sort of power. I mean,
like rocket it to the
upper
90.
That's why I have
just
a lot of respect for Uri, because he just, I feel like he just makes sure to get it on frame. Yeah. Let's test it out and see what we can do. Get a rebound. You'll see what happened with Will Johnson. He rips it from 25, 30 yards out. Rebound falls right into Miriam's lap. I mean, the guy
for
they're playing
for
three in the back. So, yeah, for a tap in, gets off the schneid.
All right, let's listen to what Jason Christ had to say after the game.
Obviously, emotional affair tonight. Passionate affair from the crowd to the staff to the players. I think everybody put everything that they had into this game. It's unfortunate because I think the way we played in the second half. I think on a different night, on a lot of different nights already this season, we walk out here with a draw. But some things went against us, for sure. Some decisions went against us, and some of the play, some of our thoughts in the first half surely went against us.
So, of course, like we were saying, first half was totally different than the second half. With this one loss, is it time to be concerned? We just won that six-game winning streak. Is it? Are we in alert, especially after our morale? After this game and everything, I mean, from players fighting with each other on the field to fans throwing stuff on the field, is this six-game streak that ends? Is it any concern? What do you think, Leon?
I'm not too concerned with with the loss. I mean, you're playing the best team in the league right now. You like I said before, the at some point you were going to lose the game. I know a lot of the national people are talking about, oh, this is when it's going to start, and basically saying we're going to lose basically all but like two of our next 13 or whatever the heck they said. I don't feel that way at all. I don't see that happening. I am a little concerned with we looked a lot like that 2015 team, honestly. We're too busy fighting the refs and whatnot instead of focusing on what we have to do to win the game. We're fighting the refs. Like you said, like you just brought up, so you got Sasha Kolesnik going after El Manir for not passing him the ball. Things like that. Like you can't do that, especially from your captain. That was a horrible, horrible, horrible display. You absolutely, under no circumstance, can do that during a game in front of fans and whatnot. You can't do that.
I'm going back to what he said about Sasha Kolesnik. Remember at the beginning of the year when you were going to training camp and you saw that, and it brought to my attention when you said that Sasha was screaming and yelling. Who was it, Apino or somebody?
It was Tony Rocha.
Tony Rocha.
Rest in peace.
Who?
But I'm just saying, I mean, do we want a captain like that? I mean, to me, I like a captain like that. But my main thing was, what was the purpose of the little incident that occurred?
It looked like on two occasions he asked for the ball on his feet to get out of trouble, and he passed it to the wing and just kind of kept it. You know, Bo is crafty with the ball. Sometimes he kind of works his way out of little tight quarters instead of just making the simple play. I think it was that. It was a bit of an overreaction. I don't mind a captain yelling, grabbing people by the shirt sometimes. That was just a little too much. I think Sasha, I think the veterans let the team down this game. The veterans should have been like, hey, relax. Let's get it together. Let's focus. Let's play clean. Let's play smart. Let's play within ourselves. I think Sasha, Yoshi, the other captains are the ones who kind of let us get out of control. Will and so forth. That big six of the leadership six or whatever they call them, those guys didn't control the team and the psyche like I would have hoped.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's been a crazy 48 hours online and on Twitter and the media and everybody talking about, you know, the bottles. And I had my dad text me today, and he doesn't even really follow the soccer team, going, you know, what the heck happened on Sunday night? All I see is that
it's called recycling.
Fans are going crazy and this and that. Overall, I'm shocked and appalled that people are – I mean, yes, the fans were in the wrong. At the end of the day, you know, they're in the wrong for throwing everything. But – why aren't we looking at the root cause of this? You know, it's you can blame the refs all that you want, but at the end of the day, our players that were on the field for Orlando City let their own crowd get in their head, and it's totally unacceptable.
Yeah,
period. It's unacceptable. We are there as fans, as a crowd, as 25,000, to get into Atlanta's head, to get into the refs' head, to boo the hell out of them, to play our part. You cannot allow us to get into your head. Yeah, sure, we're going to boo bad calls that we think are bad, but you cannot let that get into your head as an Orlando City player. Will Johnson, that dive that he had at the end of the game, is ridiculous. Okay, first of all, if you don't dive, no bottles are thrown on the field. Second of all, you could have still dove. Get up and acknowledge that you dove. Be a sportsman. Get up and acknowledge that you dove. Guess what? Nobody was going to throw bottles, and you would have had 90 more seconds to win the match. That's what would hurt to tie the match. But you know what? He got up. He screamed at the ref like a four-year-old child. And you go back and look at the replay, and it was a clear dive. There was no contact. And for him to get up and have his reaction the way that he did is the reason that people started throwing bottles and the reason that the supporters groups are under fire and the reason that all these people are under all this heat and that all the media is loving all this bad and negative attention. Will Johnson, you got to get it together, buddy. All the players. You cannot let your own fans get into your head and allow you to become unstable emotionally in the match. You cannot do it.
All right. So let me give my sixth sense in here. I agree with you. It's not right to throw the things on the field and everything. But it got to the point where the lid on the pot finally burst. You know, in the 15th minute, OC took a shot, handball outside the box, no call. 16th minute, handball in the box. We didn't get the PK. And definitely, you know, I've posted it on Twitter. You can see the ball hitting his hand. And it even moves, you know, the ball when it hits his hand. Should have gone to VAR, and it didn't. And it's not only this game. This has been happening, I mean, for the last two, 3 years. And I think this is finally... we've got fed up with it. Yes, the Will Johnson thing for the dive, I agree. He shouldn't got up. I mean, he knew he basically dove, okay?
He had to have known, right?
I mean, come on. he was already falling to the ground, and the guy's not even near his feet. But, yes, getting up the way he did and then going after the referee, yes, that might have, you know. And at that moment, as a fan, you're thinking that he got fouled.
Because he was so passionate.
Passionate, like, hey, I got fouled. And, of course, you know, that just, the volcano erupted, you know, and the fans started getting pissed off. And they threw everything. But this is not just from one game. It's from multiple games, not just this year, from last year. And what is Orlando City doing about it? Nothing. I don't see them doing anything. Now, first thing, I'm down, and you guys know where I sit. Security goes to the security officer, the guy with the yellow shirt, and says to him, anybody with the FCK ATL shirt is automatically kicked out or they need to remove their shirt, okay? First off, I don't see that offensive, okay? We've gone to Atlanta. They take stuff away from us. We come, Atlanta United fans come to Orlando City Stadium with poles, with everything.
Walk through the fan section.
Walk through, doing everything. Yeah. And we're supposed to let this happen?
And on the poster, I didn't like that either.
Everything. And we're supposed to let that happen? This is on Orlando City front office, if you ask me. Go ahead.
Let me chime in on the FCK ATL shirts for all you guys that have never had personal experiences with this before. I want to share a little anecdote with you guys. A lot of that is not the front office, okay? A lot of that is national televised Fox Sports. So if you want to blame somebody, it's
it is, Fox it is, and that's what they said. It was TV.
I got a story. Good. When the Orlando Magic made the finals back in 2009, was that when against the Lakers? I had a T-shirt. It was very similar. It said FCK the Lakers is what it said, and there was no U. It was the Lakers, and I knew they weren't going to let me in with it. So I put a shirt over top of it, and I walked in. I was sitting in the upper deck. Like seat Z, row Z, all the way in the top. And as soon as I got in the national anthem, after the national anthem, I took the shirt off, my top shirt, and it was, you know, F the Lakers on it. Me and my buddy were wearing them. Within 200 seconds, we had a security guard walking up the stairs going, you guys have to find different shirts or get out of here. They were going to kick us out. The point of being is these cameras found us in literally a minute and a half, 2 minutes. The guys responded, got up, put the shirts on. It's not anything to do with the front office. The front office wants you to be as ready as possible. I have a question for you,
though. Is it true that when you took the shirt off, you had that painted on your body?
No, it's not painted. It was a full shirt.
What's the difference?
That's just a TV, but no. Everything else is ridiculous. I agree with you. I'm surprised that the front office is not finding ways to ban the Atlanta United fans. Like the Atlanta United front office found ways to ban the Orlando City fans.
Oh, they're breaking stadium, getting more broken or whatever. Remember
yeah,
that?
their 100-year-old Bobby Dodd Stadium, the top deck that never gets used, that probably hasn't been used for God knows what.
Built by the Confederate Army.
Yeah, I mean, so they found a way to ban us, plain and simple. I don't know why they don't find a way to ban the Atlanta United fans. To me, that would just be a little bit more fuel to the fire anyways, to the rivalry fire.
But,
you know, they banned us, so we make up some, even if it was a phony, bogus thing that everybody knew was phony and bogus, I think it would still add more fuel to the fire.
JJ's talking, I mean, that's one of his points. The rest of them, they're valid, the front office. Like, to tag on the front office, like them marching where they did, and all these comforts that we're giving them, that we're not, we don't get a reciprocation.
Seven cop cars, I heard. My buddy told me they had seven cop cars while they were walking.
So, and then going to the media. You mentioned the media.
Yeah. The media loves it.
I'm assuming the media, it was a slow day. It was a slow day in the media on Mother's Day, so they had to pick this up.
More articles in the last 48 hours about Orlando City than there were in the last six-game winning streak that we've had. Unbelievable.
So, going to local radio stations, in the morning radio sports talk show, there's a local personality, radio personality, that, you know, finally figured out what soccer was after seeing it for three straight years here in Orlando City. Now he goes and basically...
Same guy that likes to compare the sports all the time?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And basically saying that we soccer fans should be ashamed of ourselves, should be this, should be that. Let me ask you something, buddy. In football, there's plenty of concussions, injuries. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the baseball fights where the players rush to the mound to after the ball gets hit at 100 miles an hour.
That's
at the
one sport they actually fight in.
Hockey, another one. You know,
hockey.
You know, so that's okay to show the kids and show everybody. You know, let's talk about that. Let's stop that. That's violence.
I'm going to tell you something about I'm a 49ers fan, right? They used to do a preseason game with the Raiders, and they're so violent that they stopped it.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, because there's actually gag battles in there, and it's usually Bianchi. Women gag battles.
Sorry. Oh, I said his name.
Like, you go to the Black Hole and Oakland Raiders and stuff. Oh, the Oakland Raiders football game? This is insane.
Yeah, he's and never,
look
never
at,
been to
look at fan culture. Look, Hamburg gets relegated. They storm the pitch, right? River Plate and Boca Juniors. They can't even be in the same stadium at the same time. This is soccer culture.
This is soccer culture, okay? And this never makes the media unless there's a death or something in Brazil or South America, Europe, or wherever. Now, or stadium collapses in Africa or wherever. Now, today, there was 50 fans of Sporting Lisbon that attacked the head coach, Jorge Jesus, Bas Dost, the international from Holland, the striker, Batalha, and Cunha, who Cunha could be actually be playing for Argentina in the national team. They attacked those guys. They attacked Bruno Fernandes also because they got Liga Europa instead of Champions League, okay? Wow. So they Bas Dost is on Twitter. They show the big cut on his head that they did 50 guys masked, went into their training, like saying Lake Sylvan, go in there and started beating the players and the coaches and everything.
Yikes.
Okay, that is the culture of soccer.
Yeah.
Understand that. In Europe, it's very serious.
Don't get any ideas, Ruckus.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to get at, it's our culture. It's the soccer culture.
Yeah, you're not saying it's
players.
Right. You're just
I'm not saying it's right.
That's the history shows that's the common way.
They throw flares onto the pitch. They throw all that before the games and everything.
Some of the supporters get bad from going because they're put on like the terror list because they're so bad. You know, just soccer. There is no sport where the fans are crazier and more violent than soccer. It doesn't mean they should have done this, but the passion gets to that point, and Will incited it. Will doing that doesn't mean you should throw stuff on the pitch. That part was wrong. I mean, it was a really good effort at recycling. I give them credit for that, though. They got a lot of plastic in one place. I don't know if that was the intention, but you know, the idea that. This isn't going to happen at some point is what I think what JJ's getting at, right? You're going to get to this level of passion in soccer, and then at some point it boils over, and then you don't kill them over it or think it's the end of the world because this is what eventually happens.
I don't know how the pro referee, they do their, you know, if they get graded on stuff. I know in Europe they get graded.
Yeah, refs get graded.
They get graded on the performance, and then they get suspended if they don't do a good job. I know in Portugal they do that. And once again, those are all FIFA. And I know these guys are FIFA also, but
yeah,
they got
to get demoted to a lower league.
Lower
like
league or whatever. Orlando City has to do something. It's getting to the point. It's ridiculous. You know, how do we not go to VAR when there's a handball in the box? And then Fox Sports, I'm watching the replay of the game. They talk 2 seconds about it. Oh, looks like it. Tony Meola, looks like it didn't go. And you look at it and the ball just touches his hand and moves.
Yeah, and, you know, and we're all.
It makes you wonder.
We're being, having conspiracies. But Atlanta has 8 PKs in 11 matches, every 75 minutes or so. Right, they're getting a PK, and we're talking about PKs on the road, right? And it's almost like I always thought in sports, if you play a certain way, if you're a flopping team or you're a team that's overly physical, as long as you do it consistently, you get away with it. So it's like when Atlanta gets away with stuff, it's not even a thing anymore. And Orlando keeps getting screwed, and the only way to do it is PR pressure. Like, Christ needs to be demonstrative and do something during the game.
You know what he should have done?
If he would have gotten demonstrative and got kicked out of that game, we would have won.
Just like he did against the Red Bulls back in the day.
Yeah, and I don't care about all that. Heath did that. Sometimes it didn't mean anything.
No, but I'm just saying.
But sometimes you need to do that. You do it strategically. You'll see this in the NBA all the time, Popovich and those guys. And then he needs to say comments in the media. And then just do like what Pecky did that time.
For $500.
Yeah, pull out a little report and be like, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And just drop the mic and walk out and just, you know, I get a checkbook out. How much is it? You know, let's go.
That's the best thing. Have the checkbook right next to it and go, I'm ready to talk,
Here's $100,000. I'm going to tell you a couple things on the top of my mind.
But going back to the media, it's just ridiculous. You know, let's talk about, you know, how good we did, our 6-game winning streak. Yeah. Let's talk that. You don't hear the media talking about that. Hey, we have a bigger winning streak than the Magic has had since Lord knows how long.
Since Stan Van Gundy was.
You know, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Let's not talk about the negative parts.
Look at where we're at. Look at where we're at the
Channel
table.
Channel 6, ridiculous. Glee Goldberg, who used to be a sports anchor for Channel 6 back 15, 20 years ago, now basically comes on TV to show his video that he took. Come on, man. You just wanted to what? Sell yourself some real estate?
Yeah.
Get off the
TV.
That
was in our section, Cleon and I. That was right there.
Yeah.
Cleon, you've been kind of quiet. Sorry that I've taken up.
I don't know, man. We didn't lose that game because of the refs, so.
I agree with Cleon.
I mean, I don't know why we're going crazy over the refs. Like, we did not lose that game because of the refs. Both of those goals, one goal was because Higuita made a dumb play. The second goal was literally because we had a breakdown.
You don't see that penalty in the 8th minute a lot. That's really
no,
early.
No, I'm not even
on
talking about
it.
Okay, that's a PK.
It looked like a penalty
that's a
from
PK.
My side. I was on the other side
that's
of the field.
That's a PK.
And the other goal, the other
yeah,
goal
but you don't
was
see
on
that
the
that early.
Yeah.
If yes. his hand was, no, if his hand not, was 6 inches lower.
The viewing it like that is wrong. You don't just say, what the goals are result of penalties. That's not how you view referee
now,
impact. You
but
view
if we
how
got
does
that
it
PK,
affect the flow of the game.
That would have been a tie
who
game.
Who comes out of the game because of the yellow, because of fouls, right? How does it affect the momentum? Where does the team get the ball? How does it affect the counterattack? Does it stop a counterattack? Do we tie the game? What does that mean? What does that mean for substitutions? That's how a ref impacts the game. It's not whether the goals are just the fault of the ref.
Well, if we get the PK
and we
make it, it's 2-1.
They dive and it stopped. If something happens, they start the ball over. They stall. They waste time. They go backwards. Or we don't get a ball in a dangerous spot. We don't get a PK. That's how the ref affects the game.
Let me ask you a question. Can he should have gotten a yellow? It's more than 10 seconds holding the ball 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
And they didn't even get warned.
Oh, yeah. Con, yeah. yeah.
Or Con or whatever his name is. Should ref didn't even say anything.
Yeah,
he's taking his time and everything.
For me, there were only 3 plays during this game to where I would say it impacted the game as far as Orlando City goes. And that was one was on the one was the handball in the box.
Yeah, huge effect.
That's a humongous effect. For me, the other one was the time. The stoppage time.
Four minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a joke.
In between El Munir and Nagby, they were laying down for about 3 minutes each alone. Then you got to count.
All
then
six subs.
Plus all six
yeah,
subs.
Yeah, Joseph Martinez took like 20 minutes to get off the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's all it really was. And, I mean, a lot of what's with the flow and us getting all these bad calls, I mean, we were going at the refs the whole time.
Because it started like that. They were calling fouls from the beginning of PK to 8th minute.
It just started from the PK.
It's the inconsistency. It's because in the first half, he was calling every little thing. And in the second half, they're hacking people. They're getting away with it. It's that if you there's some team. This team purposely plays this way. This is the way South Americans play. This is the way how they're taught, right? To play, and it's a strategic thing to dive and fall and waste time in order to break things up. And it is more allowed when a ref placates that.
Cleo, how much time should have been added on at the end?
At least, it was looking like about 7 or 8
7 or 8 minutes.
I was thinking 6 minutes.
At minimum, 6.
15 minimum.
But even going back to the dive and then the PK, I mean, that was Greg Garza.
I wish that
Greg Garza is Latino too.
I wish the fans.
He's not South American, but he's Mexican.
Plays for the U.S. national team.
Yeah, U.S. national team.
Yeah, but he grew up. Yeah, okay. I'm American too, but when you grow up in your household, they don't speak English, and you're playing it around Mexicans all the time, like he did growing up, then you play like a Mexican.
I wish the fans would have started chucking stuff onto the field as soon as the 4 came up.
Barco
would have been a lot more validated, other than a dive, but. Because that was ridiculous. 4 minutes of stoppage time, I mean, that's on a normal game. The El Munir thing, I'll be honest, there's a lot of speculation on Twitter about that. The El Munir, and was that a dive or not a dive? Goodness, guys, if that was a dive, that concerns me
that's
a lot.
The worst I've ever
just
seen.
Because it was a really bad dive, and it took up 3 to 4 minutes of valuable time.
Yeah.
So we that's didn't what give us think it wasn't a dive.
We didn't give ourselves the opportunity to be the cardiac cats. We decapped ourselves, you know, with the trash and the Will Johnson going nuts.
They let them get the players let the fans get in their heads. That's
like we were saying, and go back to going back to that point where the fans are supposed to pump up and get it motivated, right? But just because the fans are going nuts doesn't mean you play outside of your limitations, right? And force things and play too quick. And that's what happened. They forced
it. I'm 100% with Cleon. I don't agree that the refs cost us a game.
I didn't say they did. I'm just saying they sucked.
Well, they lost a penalty kick. They should have called.
Did they alter the game? Yes, they altered the game. So I do agree with that. They may have altered the game.
We don't know if you would have won.
Good teams can overcome that. That was two mistakes. You have two or three mistakes, even on your list. Two handballs and then maybe one other thing. That's only three mistakes by ref. Good teams will overcome that. Really, really good teams. Great teams. Yeah. Can overcome those mistakes by a referee, especially at home, especially with the crowd that we had. We are not great yet.
Jason Christ said it on his interview at the end of the game. But Atlanta's up there, and we're getting up there.
We're not there yet. We have to learn how to control that composure because that happens in Atlanta, too. There's 60,000 people there, and they're loud as hell. And you think when they don't get calls going their way that they're not loud? But those and that happens at every stadium. But the teams that are successful are the teams that are strong enough mentally to put it to understand that those are your home fans. That's their job. Keep your game and your head in the game and get a goal.
But a good team can become great when you have 8 penalties in 11 games.
Good point. Let's listen real quick to Yuri in changing everything here and what he took on the game.
It's for you for Orlando City.
I'm feeling good, but the result, it's the worst part. But I think it's good to have minutes, and every time I play, I feel much better.
Were you guys starting to feel a little frustrated toward the end of the match? The goal, that equalizer, just wasn't coming. Were you feeling frustrated?
Yeah, I think that if we have some more minutes, we could have scored. But unfortunately, we couldn't score. That's what it is.
Toward the end of the match, fans were throwing things onto the field. What do you say to those fans who are doing that?
I think the club is going to address about this topic.
Now, this is obviously one of the toughest teams that you guys have faced and have been leading the Eastern Conference, but what can you take away from this game now?
Yeah, I think they have a pretty good team. They know what they're doing, and we were aware of that. We couldn't stop as good as we want, but we won 6 games in a row. This was our 7. This is football. This is soccer. Sorry. Actually, it's hard to win all of games, but we're gonna take positive things about this because I think the second half we were much better and we controlled a little bit more, and we had our chances.
All right, there is Yuri talking. Yeah, some good valid points on that. Talking about Yuri, Yoshi's gonna be gone for Peru, the national team,
and the yellow card suspension,
and the yellow card. Everything. So now that he's gone, what do you guys think? Is Yuri going to take that Higuita spot and move Higuita, or are we going to keep Higuita in the same spot and Yuri moving up a little bit forward?
Yuri would be moving up. I mean, I would imagine it'll be the same as when Yuri and Higuita was on the field earlier. I don't think it was last game, but the game before. Yuri's going to jump in where Yoshi is.
Yoshi is.
You guys think we see the diamond?
Don't do that.
I'm just saying. Who's the backup defensive mid now?
Who cares about
if
the
you run two of them? Who's the third guy?
Backup.
Well,
you could put
Will, take Will out of right back, put him in, and bring in R.J. Allen.
Good point. I don't want to see the diamond because that puts Will back in the midfield, and we're losing Yoshi as the left midfielder as well. And then we don't have a right midfielder. Sasha's too slow for that. Koba's not a right midfielder. I don't want to see it. Not until Yoshi's back, at least. But I don't know.
Let me ask you guys a question. Mueller. Are we going to see Coleman now? And Mueller? Mueller hasn't really done anything, honestly, in the last 2, maybe 3 games.
I don't think
Coleman has looked.
I don't think that's Coleman's position, though, personally.
But he's more free. I think he can be free like a Merrim, switching him and Merrim one side, and then they just keep switching back and forth. Where Merrim likes to go all over the field and the pitch, and Coleman does too.
I don't know what they were doing in the second half. I mean, him and Kleshin were just kind of all over. I don't know if it's Coleman that doesn't stay in shape, that, just drifts towards the middle, or if they got some sort of something going on in there with both of them. But Coman looked pretty well in the center of the pitch. I mean, and that's where he played a lot of the second half when he had minutes against Atlanta. So, I mean, I was impressed. I liked his ability to find spacing in the midfield on when transitioning from defense to offense. I thought he had a couple of good moments there where he was found himself in the middle of the pitch, could turn really, really quickly and start the counterattack. Kind of gave me hints of Miguel Amarone. And how he does that, because that's what he is best at, and that's why Atlanta scores so many goals, is because they can turn that counterattack very, very quickly, and it's mainly because of Miguel Amarone, who finds that space, makes a turn, and finds a pass.
Yeah, I don't know if Coman's going to start right away. Mueller had some great moments, and he had a great assist to Higuita if he would have just finished the header. I mean, he hit it right at the goalie. Maybe we view the Mueller's match differently if Higuita makes that. He's forced his stuff. I didn't think he played well, personally. Coman brings a different element. He's another guy who could actually keep the ball on his feet. He's not afraid to keep the ball on his feet. So maybe matchup-based, but I like Coman. I thought we looked like we had more bite with him. And Mueller is a rookie. Rookies hit the rookie wall, and I think he could use some rest. So let's give Coman a shot. And I think to answer your question about Yuri Higuita, I think we stay 4-2-3-1 for now because it suits Higuita. And he had a bad half, but he's played great the last six matches besides that.
Yeah, it's going back to what we said on the last podcast. Like, you can't be so – anytime somebody has a single bad game or even two bad games, you can't just, oh, my God, ripping everything up and going in a whole different direction.
Especially in MLS.
I mean, Dom's gone two games without scoring. We're not going to be like, oh, let's start Pino. I mean, Mueller's not. He's not going to score every game. He's not going to get an assist every game. No one's going to do that.
He should have had an assist this game, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't be so quick to just throw guys in and out. And like, you got to let people get a rhythm. I think Coman, he will be subbing in and stuff like that. He'll be subbing in for most likely for Mueller. If not Mueller, then he might sub for Merrim in spots. And, I mean, they'll ramp up his time bit by bit. Occasionally, he could start. Mueller could be the sub. I mean, but you just can't keep throwing guys in and out.
Remember,
every,
we got
every two
U.S.
weeks.
Open Cup coming up also here in a couple of weeks.
We just won six matches with this. We talked about exactly. It. We just won six. Are we freaking out because we lost one? We
and
just won six matches with this lineup.
Switching to the damn diamond.
Yeah. It's too.
No, I'm not an advocate. I'm just.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
I wouldn't be shocked, but.
I'm saying Coman could get a run just as a. Reprieve for Mueller because he's a rookie. He's going to get tired, hit that wall. He's been, you know, they're focusing on him a little bit more than he's been, you know, he scored some goals and got some attention. So he's getting a little bit more attention than he was at the beginning. Oh, so, I mean, Coman shouldn't, like, should Mueller just be dropped just because? No.
No.
But Coman should get some run because of just for rest and, you know, stuff like that.
All right. Let's go to MLS salaries, guys. MLS salaries. That came out last week, right after our podcast, actually, on when we it was on Wednesday or Thursday. Our top salary guy, Dom Dwyer, $1.38 million. Sasha Kleistian, $1.1 million. And then Higuita. $582,000, $500,000,
which is a big raise
from last year.
You go get him, Higuita. You deserve it.
And, you know, what's funny is a lot of people didn't know what was the situation with Higuita. And, you know, people saying, oh, he's going to leave and everything. And look at this. He gets a big raise from Orlando City.
I heard that it was backloaded that way specifically.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
So
Rivas salary's up there like that.
It was to help us out while Kaká, I think, was here. And, like, we had all that going on.
And then when he left,
our whole salary now, I think, what was it, $8.7 million was our whole salary.
Yeah, it's like 8.7, 8.8, something like that.
We're paying Kaká 7.
So. Yeah, we were, at 12, 13 the rest of our time in the MLS. And this team's way deeper than any other team we've ever had. So. Yep. That kind of tells you how much resources we were dumping.
We paid $800,000 for Notarino last year, and then like $815,000 for Giles Barnes.
And everybody else,
and
maybe
now we pay $815,000 for.
You know
Sonny,
what I'm surprised?
Unbelievably upgradable.
Out of all the salary, Tarek, $88,000 a year.
He's on loan. You got to remember, he's on loan.
With option to buy, right?
Yeah, but I bet you a lot. I bet you he's still getting some sort of salary
from his
club that owns.
Whatever we're paying Villarreal is too much. Give it to Tarek.
He's probably getting more compensation than that.
Yuri, $412,000. Mohamed, $193,000.
That's not bad.
Yeah, we got Sutter for like 240 or something like that. Sutter was.
Everybody's
like,
saying Bendick is underpaid at what 189.
He's a goalkeeper.
He's a keeper. Show me who's the highest paid keeper besides Guzan?
Tim Howard.
No, it's Tim Howard. He's getting like 2.5.
Tim Howard's backup gets something double Bendick's, I think.
Are you serious?
And then Sané is at 855,000. Wow. Sané's making pretty good.
Yeah,
he's like the fourth. Sané's got the fourth highest salary for a defender in the MLS.
I'm totally cool with that.
Considering his pedigree, I mean, how else are you going to bring a guy like that from the German League?
He had one or two bad games, goes back to the same thing that Clay was saying. You know, hey, it's going to happen, especially.
Yeah.
Team's young. It's only 9 games in, right?
Ten
games in now.
Yeah, but how many has he played? How many, you know, like we've had how really many center back pairings and so forth, right?
He's going back to talking about Tarek, like that, the more I see him play, the more convinced I'm becoming every single game that he's our best center back.
Yeah. He's definitely.
And that's including Spector.
It'll be a big loss if he goes,
they're not going to let him go.
He's talking about to Egypt.
For the World Cup.
For the World Cup. Well, he did get called up to the 23.
Congrats on that, but
25 men.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Congrats on that. Hope you get knocked out real fast.
Yeah, for real. I hope Mohamed Salah pulls a hamstring and you guys get eliminated.
They're going to make it, and and if he's on the team, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no, I think the
defense, they'll make it to the second round.
Yeah, I think so too. Actually, yeah, I think so.
Mo's going to be the FIFA Player of the Year this year.
Yeah.
Good call. We'll
save that for the World Cup podcast. But speaking of the defense, I think Cleon's right. I think it's been our best center back, maybe defender with Mo all year. And they need to lock that guy up. And our defense, I thought, played well. It's just the midfield was such a gaping wound. It was just like the Red Sea parting or whatever. And they were just flying at them. But the defense held up pretty well. The back four did fine. Sané's did fine, and our center backs aren't a problem.
Yeah, Tarek, he was making plays. He's so athletic, man.
Yeah.
And I know, even going back to, I think it was like our first episode, and none of us had ever heard of him, but we saw like his little highlight tape and whatnot.
Yeah, I saw him
in
training.
All we can do when we're looking at it was like, God, that guy looks fast as heck.
Yeah.
He's like fast, he's fit, and athletic, man. And he makes plays that you just know no other center back on our roster can make. Like, he made one on Almiron.
That hook slide where he, like, Almiron was past him, and he hooked
it and got the ball back.
Yeah, he backheeled it.
Yeah.
He was running
the
stride
back heel
for stride.
Was second, but he had another one where he slid and hooked it.
Yeah,
that one was on
Martinez.
Yep.
And with both of them, he was having to run stride for stride with them and then make those plays, and it was just like,
how many times does he just jet to the sideline, head the ball out or clear it,
and
stop
he's
a
so
through
quick,
ball? This league is getting more and more athletic, and that's having a center back this athletic is becoming a huge advantage.
And Sané had a couple of one-on-one goes against Miguel Almiron, and he held up real well too.
He
you know, those two guys are only going to get better as the season goes on. I could probably say that for most of the team. So there's really not, you know, we lost one game. That's it's a tough game. You know, you're playing the best team in the MLS. They're number one in all the power rankings for a reason. You know, they have the great coach. Say it over and over again. They're a juggernaut. They're a powerhouse. And it will not be easy to take down Atlanta United. So
they're going down.
If you think it's going to be easy, it will not be easy. It will be tough.
We have to earn it.
We will beat them June 30th
in
the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
We're going to be there at Texas Field Turf USA.
We will be there.
Yeah. I think we lost, and it sucks. But it's just who we lost to. You know, that's what's making it sting so much, and we're all reacting. Last time when we lost to Toronto, we had a little, you know, we're playing fine, and we're beating some teams by the skin of our teeth. We lost to Toronto and made it feel like we lost to a good team, and then we were exposed, and then we had a downfall, right? So that's the MLS headquarters narrative that, we were exposed by a good team, and here comes the downfall. But it's not going to happen.
Let me ask all three of you guys a question. If this was the Houston Dynamo, the game that put Houston in Atlanta's shoes, would you think we would see all this stuff that happened on Sunday?
Not the trash.
Not the trash.
No, because the game wouldn't have been that, nobody would have been that amped up.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Definitely though.
And
yeah.
Then my next question, what's going on? I mean, we talked earlier about the Orlando City front office. I know it's a big thing on Twitter world this last day, basically, the last 24 hours, about ticket sales.
Yeah.
Why are we not seeing the stadium? And why is it seem like the attendance is declining? You know, like especially the Atlanta game. Rivalry. Yeah. It's almost a classic, classico. Yeah.
Sunday.
You know, Sunday, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear rain. You could put a poncho on.
Yeah.
Why wasn't it sold out?
Mother's Day, and I guess.
I talked to some people, and I even talked to some moms. That's what they wanted to go do, see Orlando City.
Yeah, I left my wife at home.
I heard there's still a waiting list. I feel like there's still people that.
If there's a waiting list, get those people in.
Are trying, know. That own these tickets that are just have always owned them, and they've resold them, and they've made money off them. And I think that's what's happening, and now it's the plan's backfiring, and you're starting to see that come to fruition. I mean, I mentioned today that DC United has had a problem, obviously, with attendance, but they're building their new stadium, and they have their new fan allocation money, their FAM, where nice. You can actually give your tickets back to the club, so that way they can donate them or sell them at a discounted price or give them to, you know, families in need or and people in the community.
They get money? Or how's it work?
Like points that you can earn towards concessions at the future games, or you can earn towards merchandise, or you can buy tickets to future games, you know, if you wanted extra tickets.
Imagine if you could do that here and you could get one of those signed jerseys or something.
Yeah.
You get enough points, right? And you get enough, you turn them in, and you get a signed poster from Justin.
Yeah, I think
people would do that, I think.
I think it'd be cool if they did something similar to that. To be honest with you, I mean, a lot of it is resale, but they're just not selling tickets. And you could tell because I don't think a lot of the season ticket holders are in the top corners, those uncovered sections. And there's really nobody.
I'm in we're the A in Orlando, and my row is pretty much empty almost every match. And I can't resell my tickets for anywhere near the value. I think some of it's the novelty's worn off, and then Orlando's just not used to winning, and the city. And only until we start winning like deeper, like
yeah,
I know
but we won six games in a row.
No, but they know about two or three of them, and they don't know what that means. It has to be playoffs.
It's like Alex said.
At the end of the season,
it's
playoffs.
Like Alex said, get this thing on the media, get this thing in the paper, get this everywhere.
Look, you heard the media how little they know. That's the problem.
Right.
You know
who mentioned the correlation between attendance and us rolling out the. Electronic only, ticket only app.
Oh, I think that was Lee. I'm not sure.
I think that's a fantastic find there. I think that has a really big portion to do with it.
We're losing
old
people.
You can't sell your tickets anywhere other than Ticketmaster, basically.
Yeah.
For cheaper than what you paid for them, you know, to do a good deed. And even if you're trying to get rid of $20 tickets, they turn into $30 tickets because of
Ticketmaster fees.
Orlando City. They thought that was a good partnership. It's not. They
put a floor on
the
ticket
secondary
price.
Secondary consequences for that, and it has shot them in the foot because you have no scalpers out there. You have nowhere really other than the box office to buy game day the same day tickets or Ticketmaster, and Ticketmaster charges at the yin yang. Unless you're part of the Facebook group, which everybody should be a part of because that's the main way to skip out on fees. Orlando Soccer Ticket Exchange, I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's really one of the main ways to skip out on fees. But to pay 40% in fees on a ticket, do you really? I want to ask to see Leotow and Flavio, hey, 40% tax on anything, are you going to buy that? No. Come on, man. That's Ticketmaster is a fraud.
That's what Ticketmaster gets them on board because that's who they pay with that 40%. They pay pay Flavio and those guys.
That's a fraud. They should be ashamed of that relationship, and it's gonna cause lack of attendance until we start to win.
But deep
consistently,
six times. And I think it's deep in the season. What is playoff implications? You saw in the Citrus Bowl. Remember that 5-game run where we were near the playoffs a couple years ago? 40,000, 45,000. I think when we get to that point, there's playoff implications. It becomes a trend or a trending topic, and it becomes
but
a
I
cool
also
place
think
to
marketing,
go. And blah, blah,
marketing
blah.
Also has a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, filling the bowl. I mean, I feel like I don't see as much as Orlando City marketing as I did when Phil was around. You know, doing public events, doing things like that, and getting people excited. I don't see that anymore, you know. I see, you know, the pub crawl. Basically, that's it.
We know Phil got around.
but basically...
Wow, man. Sorry about that.
Wow.
That was bad.
That was bad.
I meant that totally. That was wrong, Phil.
Wow. But
I love you, Kay. Thanks for liking and favoring our tweets.
But, yeah, definitely... Kay's trying to do it now, but that took the wrong turn.
That
right
was
now.
A dig on him.
That was totally wrong.
We love Kay, though.
Yes, yeah. We do love Kay. Kay is our sweetheart. So thanks, Kay, for liking everything. We got questions today before we go to our game preview against Toronto.
Before we turn the page on this blasphemous week.
This is like a good segue right now, right? After that. Okay, so we got a lot of questions. Thanks for the, you know, participation, as usual. I mean, Orlando City Twitter is just a blast of all the fun banter we have. There's been some contentious moments this week, but everybody love each other. We're one fan base, and we need each other more than ever in order to you know, we have a great team. We have a lot online.
Hey, can I say something real quick?
We have a lot on the line, and let's not get fractured and start fighting and cause the support to wade where it's already not at the peak right now.
Can I say something real quick?
Okay.
OC Twitter. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Let's all be friends.
Yeah.
There's no need for the fighting.
How can we be
friends? You know, it's getting, you know, kind of interesting out there with the OC Twitter world.
Yeah.
People blocking people. I mean, we're all OC fans. Yeah. And just because one person says something wrong doesn't mean that you got to go out there and block them, you know.
Yeah.
Just let's all be friends. And
we
just
all have our favorite players.
Yes,
and that's okay.
Exactly. So, all right. go ahead.
Yeah, you got it. Okay. So we got from ORL, or City Wall, D. Simmons, good buddy of ours on Twitter. He talked about Jose Corba looking fantastic. They're being subbed while Cash has been slightly off to two matches. Should he go right into 2-11? I don't think that, not yet, personally. I don't think he should be locked for the 11. Give Cash a little bit of a rope, but I don't mind seeing the substitution being a little earlier and earlier. You know, like we saw with Yuri, like maybe 65th minute or something like that. What do you guys think?
I agree.
Do I think Cash Miller should stay in the game?
No, yeah, should Coba go right into the 10 right now after his spunky performance?
Say it again, 5-year contract, 19 years old. He's got plenty of time.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to go right in. Mueller's been fantastic. I was happy with how Chris Mueller played this weekend.
Except for the big shank into the...
You know. No, I think he...
Besides that, he did bad.
Atlanta did that 3 or 4 times. So.
No, I thought he was pretty mediocre, but that was a nice play where he should have scored. But he needs to calm down and just do simple things sometimes, trying to, like, one-touch across in the rain. Just take it easy, buddy. Just... do the meat and potatoes things, get the ball, get a touch, get it down, and kick it, okay? Take it easy.
Leon, you're falling asleep over there. What do you think?
It's the same thing as before. You just can't drop in guys in and out. And the same thing, you can't just throw somebody in because he looked good for 20 minutes or whatever, like Coman. We've seen Coman come in for 20 minutes and look like nothing. So, that's just the way it goes. It's ebbs and flows. It goes up, it goes down. You gotta keep giving Coman his consistent time off the bench. When he starts stringing some together, then you start considering, okay, maybe now we think about throwing this guy in. You know what I mean? But you can't just throw guys in and out game by game. That's just 100%. To me, that's too reckless.
Okay, so we had a same question from Lee about Josue, and then he says, he asked about the formation change. We kind of talked about that.
No.
Will Yoshi out? We're hoping not, you know?
Absolutely not.
I think we lose into so many positions, right?
Lee, we like you,
then
but
we
no.
Put Will back in the midfield. We don't have a left midfield. You're putting
Mueller back up top.
Yeah. You're putting Iguita in a spot he's weaker at in left mid.
Everywhere.
And so it's just, to me, I hope not. And then you guys, anybody? I rewatched the match. You guys rewatch it? Any?
Yeah, remember I took notes.
I thought you took them live. I'm sorry. And So the ref situation, did your opinion change after rewatching it? About how the ref live? Because, I mean, no. Besides the Will dive.
But besides the Will dive, I mean, my two things
I'm embarrassed, by the way, that we all reacted that way and it was a dive. He fooled us. That was ridiculous.
It's Will, I mean, Will Johnson should be embarrassed. He's the only guy that has to be embarrassed. All this deflection onto the crowd and the supporters and the fans.
And they interviewed him and asked him about the fans.
And how we're all terrible and we're all this and we're all that. That was one of the most pitiful plays I've ever seen any person in Orlando City jersey ever make.
How about being tone deaf and shameful. Interviewing him and asking him about
it? Don't worry. Right? If he scores two goals against Toronto, everybody's going to forget about it.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'll forget about it.
So let's go.
Yeah. I'm
no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the main credit to the goal, but, dude, you got to.
That was bad.
We were in his head.
We talk about Atlanta diving, and then you do that. Like, you're hurting our narrative a little bit. Jeez. Yep.
All right, next question.
Okay, yeah, so throwing bottles is not the answer, and is what Apollo Kid says. So he says, do you have any thoughts as to how the fans can express their distaste and frustration when it seems like we were playing against 11-plus pro?
Instead of bottles?
We talked about this.
Yeah.
In our chat.
Yeah. Basically, you know, hopefully Orlando City can do something.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
Well, you're talking about, Alex, you're a universal band for life?
No, I was talking about
Pyro.
Just a terribly vulgar TIFO.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was bad. No.
Yeah, what happened to the TIFO?
I think
there was
that
no
would
TIFO
be,
this time.
I mean, even like just a terribly, terrible. I mean, if you want to get your point across, that doesn't really hurt anybody. You can make it vulgar to where it's not like, you know.
Vulgar.
Really, really, really X or X and R rated. But I wouldn't mind a PG-13/rated R TIFO.
And just throw flares next time.
But yeah, I think the flares would have been more effective. I mean, to be honest with you, throwing
the smoke bombs.
Throwing three or four smoke bombs would have been way more, not only getting your point across, but safe for our players and people that are throwing it. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, I just don't want to dive into it. You know?
Let me ask you a question. Are we allowed to do smoke bombs?
No, only the
during the goal, right?
No, only the
No, I know the supported section. But if we want to put a smoke bomb, because remember Dom scored on the that goal, it was all smoky over there and everything. Yeah. Could we do that, or does it only be during a goal that we could?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know.
Throw because I mean it could distract the goalie.
I'm down with that.
But I mean Bendik was on that side anyway, so it didn't really make a difference.
What were we gonna say, Cleo?
I don't remember.
Oh, man. JJ, cut him off. Okay.
Cut him off this time.
All right, so show.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, Cleo, so this one. All right, so Chris Polakin wants to know our takes on Miram. He said he's glad he got his goal, but the rest of the play has been inconsistent, including turnovers that have led to goals. Should he keep getting starts to try and put it together or come in as a sub? Just me reading this got Chris blocked by 10 people. Just
Miram.
Kidding.
I just go, shh.
Yeah. Miram, I think the goal was fine. I mean, he had some composure. Everybody should make that goal, though, let's be honest. I thought he turned the ball over in the 75th minute. He gave him a golden opportunity. I think he tries too hard to take people on, keeps the ball too long. I like him. I'm rooting for him. He's talented, but you got to move the ball more quickly and stop turning the ball over. It's killing our momentum a lot. That's what I think about Miram.
I'm highly disappointed in the fact that as soon as you see your replacement at the scorer's table ready to come in for you, you just happen to give the ball away twice and the opponent's attacking third with no care in the world, no even attempt to play a clear out, nothing. Even your brain was already checked out. You had the goal and you got on cloud nine and we were losing the game. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in Justin Miram for the way – in his celebration. I mean, we don't, nobody,
weird.
Yeah, there's 2 out of 10 people hating on him. But that's being a professional athlete, Justin Miram. I got news for you. People are going to hate on you, especially when you're in a slump. You don't silence the haters or whatever you say on Twitter. You thank us for supporting you and then you keep on going. But to get checked out and to give away 2 turnovers that literally could have given up the third goal easily, I don't know how, I really don't know how it didn't. I was disappointed in Justin.
Hold on,
Miram.
1 second.
Yeah, it felt good to just
silence the haters.
All right, go ahead.
To silence the haters.
Yeah. Well, Mara, what do you, Cleo,
it's
what
one
do you
goal,
about?
Man. I mean, it's one goal. It's yeah. It's 10 games. You have one goal. You had 13 last year. That's why we got you. You have one goal. I mean, you're not silent. You didn't silence anybody. You definitely didn't silence me. If anything, you pissed me off more.
Yep. Pass the ball. Stop holding on to the ball.
I don't understand that. I mean, hopefully he gets out of the rut, but not the reaction that I wanted to see from Justin Mirren when he scores his first goal.
I don't know. For me, it seems like it's a little bit of a common thread, like, just from a little bit of time. Like, supporters and fans, we can go at players all the time, and then they give us a little bit of crap back, and then we get all offended. Like, it seems a little soft to me. Like, it's like if I sit there and I'm running at you the whole time, and all of a sudden, you know, you score, you say something back to me, my feelings ain't gonna get hurt about it.
It's not all the supporters. It's maybe 2 out of 10.
Section,
what about the other 8 out of 10 that are supporting you and you're going silent?
Yeah, I know
haters.
On this podcast
you're focused
we've been
on only the 2 out of 10. Why aren't you focused on the 8 out of 10 that are supporting you? You're not going to be successful in your career if you only focus on the 2 out of 10 haters. You got to focus on the people that support you.
People function like that, man.
That's true.
Just like some people, they play better.
I'd be cool with that if he was functioning, but he's not functioning at all.
Some people. I mean, he's been productive. He's just—he's not.
He's been
at,
in the right place
at
the right time a couple of times. Yeah,
he's not the only one. Nocerino had an issue with the wall. Yeah. Also,
that was the same thing. It was like people were going out in the whole season. Then when he said something back, then all of a sudden everybody's mad.
That wasn't the case. Nocerino. He had just gotten there, and that was like a second or third match, I think, or fourth match. Well, when some of it is like, you know, Alex is our body language expert, right? Some of it is body language. He got the goal. He did the ear thing, and then he just walked back. He didn't go get the ball and come back like Sasha did, right?
And we're losing.
We're losing, right?
He has been
productive. That's why I thought he should have been back in the starting lineup. That's why I've been supportive of him. And I don't think he's getting, you know, unless the supporter section were giving him a lot of junk. I know we've been defending him, and on OC Twitter, it's been mostly positive of him and so forth. So. But Cleon's right. Some people just have to have a chip on their shoulder and feel disrespected to perform. And obviously, Mara's one of
those.
Some
people function. Some people thrive off of that stuff, man. Some people, when they feel like they're getting, you know, the world's at them, some people crumble. Some people they rise to it. Some people just they like to feel that way. They like to have the chip.
Well, he's been absolutely miserable in response to the hate, whatever the haters. He's not thriving on it. He's been terrible for 10 games.
But
so.
You know, one thing I've been surprised about is how athletes actually buy into that. It's me against the world nonsense, like the Patriots will buy into it or the Yankees
so many
or somebody.
People that support
they
him,
really
I mean.
Buy into that. You think, wow, really? Does that, you know, who's rooting against, like, you know, who's actually against you? And they really just make it up and buy it, and the coaches talk to them about it and make them think it's true. So Cleon has a point there that a lot of athletes will just kind of essentially almost make up or emphasize the haters just to motivate them.
It's really, I mean,
athletes are really, really far for that junk. It's
to be frank with
really
you,
weird.
No matter what player it is, no matter whose name was on the back of the jersey, really no matter what team they're playing for, if you're in soccer, you're down 2-0 at home in the second half, and you score a goal, I don't want to see any celebration, period. End of story, no celebration. Grab the ball,
run
into the circle, let's go again. It's 2-1.
I pay my money to be entertained.
So you're
going to
tell me Barcelona, if you have Barcelona and Real Madrid, and Real Madrid's at home at the Bernabeu, that they're down 2-0, Ronaldo scores a goal, even Ronaldo's not celebrating. He's grabbing the ball, he's running to the circle. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to go score again.
But
Mirren had no intention to score again. He already silenced the haters with his one goal to get us back down from
2-1. No intention, that's too far. But, you know, we do know Ronaldo will still take his shirt off either way. Just kidding. But,
you're losing a rivalry
game.
I mean,
it's too far to say he didn't have an intention to score. I don't mind the celebration because it wasn't long and it was his first goal.
All right. My thing.
Now, I don't care. My position hasn't changed because of that. It was annoying. He just needs to move the ball more quickly. He still should start.
You score
in
a goal.
In my opinion. And if you were to cheer,
you don't tell your supporters that have been backing you and everything to shut up and be quiet.
It's a bad fight to pick.
No, it's not.
I'm saying Mara picking the fight with the supporters.
It's not. You shouldn't have done that, and that's the bottom line.
I would have
like
no
Alex
problem
saying,
if he scored the game winner and did it.
you know.
Well, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about that, but it wasn't the game winner, dude.
Then, like you said, Pino, he already seen Pino's coming up, and he's going to get subbed out. And
checked right out. He was already on the bench, but he's still in the game. You can't have that, man. Those are pure characteristics of selfishness. Everything that we're talking about is pure characteristic of selfishness.
I don't really care about selfishness, to be honest with you.
It's like, a team sport.
I want my guy to score, make
score goals, win the game.
It's a team sport.
Okay. Right. Well,
like,
I don't care.
Like all the extra stuff. Like I don't care what the guy does. As long as I don't take that type of stuff personally.
It's the same thing that you say that your captain can't be grabbing teammates. It's a team sport. You got to be supportive of your team, dude. You can't just be all about yourself. The only person that I mind being all about himself, and he's still not all about himself, is Dom Dwyer. And yeah, he's selfish, but when he's supportive all the time. And Dom Dwyer is grabbing the ball and running back. Period.
Even
End of
Higuita,
story.
Even Higuita
no
is
questions.
You know, out of foul, just let's
no
go quick. Let's
asked.
Go.
If Dom Dwyer would have scored that goal and it's 2-1, there's no celebration. Period. And it's his seventh goal in seven games.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Barrow's quite fit in quite yet, chemistry wise. Right.
Let's go to the next question before this gets out of hand. And we're
I didn't know you were gonna go so hard, Alex. It's okay. We're not gonna get
love for Miriam. Yeah. I'm with Eddie. It pisses me off. I mean, he was terrible the whole game. From he had 1 minute of shining brightness, and it was off of a rebound. He was where he was supposed to be.
I thought he had a couple, but overall, I was disappointed in him for sure.
Disappointing. He's been disappointing.
Now, Yuri being on the field, what do you think happens? Chris is asking again about he's asking about Yuri, right? And he says Yuri has to be on the field. Yoshi's gone now, so it's easy, but what are we doing when he comes back? Does Yuri start right away, or do we go to the diamond then when Yoshi comes back?
Oh, my God.
Never
stop
go to the diamond. No.
Stop with the diamond.
Okay, so then
more diamond.
So then who are the two defensive mids, or who are the two?
It's alternating.
How they're playing back then.
I agree
that's
with Leon. How they're playing.
After June 30th, when they come back.
Somebody could be injured by then.
Yoshi
could be injured
performed well enough where he could just walk in, though.
No, this is where you start. After when these players get back from the World Cup is when you start these three games in 8 days. Stretches. This is when you're going to start seeing the depth is after that comes out. Yeah. So,
but I feel like Yoshi should just walk right into 11 before how he's performing.
I agree. I think Yoshi will probably just depending on how he plays.
Yeah, back. But like you're saying, I mean, we're playing three out of in 8 days. It's time to rest some. I mean, we have the depth, guys.
You could see Yuri and Higuita on Sunday, and then Yoshi on Wednesday, and then Yoshi and Yuri on Sunday.
That's a great point. So now Bryce Miller, BR Mill 2, asks, how valuable was Yuri in the second half? Were we better because he came in, or was it tactical, or was it mostly Yuri?
No, I think we were a lot better with him.
I think we played better, but Higuita and Yoshi had a bad game. Anything could have been better than those two, you know, in the first half.
So it was more that Higuita, they played poorly. I think he's cleaner on the ball, moves it more quickly, a little more range of passing, and he cuts off passing lanes.
He's got
better.
High soccer IQ.
Yeah.
He's got great positioning.
Yes. And you could tell that low cross is all the crosses that Atlanta did were low crosses. He had caught a couple. He was aware of that because of that soccer cue, and he was catching those runs that Higuita and Yoshi were missing. So, okay, now a question from Mike McGovern, MCG 1848. The question is, why do we keep having slow starts, keep giving up the first goal? And, that's the main question. And then the second question is, should the starting 11 come down from the wall? I say yes, that'll be awesome. But what about the slow starts? Why do we start slow? Why do we keep giving up the first goal in so many matches? What do you guys think? What about you, Cleo? What do you think?
I don't know, man. It's luck.
Focus.
Some of it's just bad luck. Some of it's, you know, just they're not where they're supposed to be in the beginning of the match. And sometimes it takes some getting a goal scored on them to tighten up.
We had opportunity, you know. I mean, it's just we don't score and the other ones score and then we come back.
We're putting it all together. We're putting it all. Right now we're a reactive team. So, you know, we tend to let the game show us how it's going to play out in the first 10 to 15 minutes, and then we react to that.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
Yeah, even that past game, I mean, Higuita doesn't make that penalty in the box, and who knows how that game turns out.
You're right. That wasn't a scoring opportunity at all. I mean, like, he was backwards to the goal, like you said.
It was a dumb foul. But
it was.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even just that, I mean, like, his mentality wouldn't even be the same.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
what I mean?
And then we got Jeremy Jamerson asked about Coman. about, you know, starting as well. And then we got a you think Igita gets just called for too many fouls just because of the way he plays?
No.
Yeah, or he's just a deserving?
Why do we care about Higuita and fouls?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Sometimes it's good that he fouls.
I think it's fine. I just think he was just a team that dives all the time, and it was a perfect storm.
He's a center defensive.
I don't want him to change. That was a dumb foul, but the rest of it is fine with me.
I don't mind him fouling. It's just his extracurricular activity afterwards towards the ref. Just walk away. You fouled. Okay.
That's been Yoshi this year. Yoshi's like five out of six yellow cards have been talking crap to the ref.
We just you fouled him. Go. Yeah. Walk away.
Okay. And now, what do you guys think? Any moves we should make in the summer from David Valentin?
Right back.
Yeah, right back.
Any good ones? On?
I would like another defensive midfielder for depth, you know, personally. Just because.
How about a striker?
Yeah, another striker would be good. Or like a real backup left wing. Pino's been making work, but I want to see like two.
No, he's a striker.
Yeah, no. I'm saying he's been making
another
it.
Striker.
No, that's what I'm saying. Pino's been making it work, but Pino goes centrally and just plays like a striker. And I want to see two strikers, almost like four up front, two wingers and two strikers when we're down to try to come back. Pino would be great at that, I think. So, yeah.
I say a striker. And a right back.
Yeah, fair enough.
And okay. I don't know what's out there in right back world, but, you know, Europe just ended, so let's go grab a European or somebody.
I'd be fine with, like, a true winger.
We might need to get another center back, man, if because we don't know what's going on with Spectre.
Yeah, Alex called it with the concussions. He'll be out for a while. He said it.
Man,
he hasn't even headed a ball since, bro. Like,
yeah, I'm telling you. You have two concussions in 2 weeks. You're out for 2 to 3 months, period.
He should wear one of those helmets.
He's going to have, you might see that actually. He's going to have pressure, especially if Amro makes this Egyptian team.
Yeah.
He's going to have some serious pressure to get back into the lineup.
Yeah. You got Schuler.
No.
Chris
Schuler.
We got a question.
Chris Schuler will tell you that he's not ready to play 90 every single game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's not what he's brought here for. You know, I don't think. Bastastic 77, one of our good buddies too. He asked, why do we continually concede cheap goals? I think Alex touched on that. Maybe it's lack of concentration or at the beginning or just trying to see the game come to us. And then why hasn't Sasha really found his feet yet? I think Sasha's played. I think that was his worst game probably since the New York opener. He's so slow that the athleticism gap was super evident, and we couldn't counter back because we just didn't have the pace. And his passing touch, his positioning
was not there against.
No,
the
he
back
was
three.
He was very left, a lot of left. Nagby and Lorenowitz had their way with him until Yuri and Coleman came in, and his passing was off. He turned the ball over as much as Merrim. He's getting a pass. Sasha's getting a pass. He had to turn a turnover.
Hey, do you guys think the weather had anything to do?
Yeah,
with the rain.
I think it did because we had Mueller on the right wing, some long balls. We tried too many, and it got killed by the rain. Look at Yoshi's long ball to Mueller pretty early on. It got stopped. Dom tried to cross one from deep. It got stopped. I definitely think it hurt that aspect of our game. The ball flies differently. If you play any sport, the ball flies in weather, like golf. That makes a huge difference.
I'm pretty sure Atlanta played in the same damn weather
play in the damn dome.
Yes. That's true.
Y'all talking about the rain affected us?
Yes.
They play with the roof.
Did you guys not listen? I said long balls. They weren't playing balls over the top like that.
They weren't.
They were playing low through balls. I didn't say low through balls. Those worked. They said long balls. When you're higher in the air, the rain is hitting the ball longer, and in the air, the weight and all that stuff changes, okay?
Is
that it?
Play some golf
and
know what
physics,
I'm talking
that's
about.
That's what we're going into.
Yeah,
next.
Exactly.
We got more.
Yeah. Raul Quintero asked about the about refereeing, man. We touched on that. I mean,
We already talked.
Refereeing sucks in all of soccer. Look at the Barcelona Real Madrid match.
It happens.
People are hacking people everywhere. It's not just MLS.
And we're not the only team that it happens to in MLS, unfortunately. Right. So
that's the last.
What happened? The police at the door? We got a couple minutes. You'll be all right.
No, I have some over here.
Oh, okay, good for you. Go ahead.
Okay, are you done?
I'm done, buddy.
Okay. All right, so
I'm sorry. I am the man of the people, and the people spoke. I'm responding.
No,
the man of the people.
You're the man of the people.
Eddie the commish.
let's hear David Valentin's phone call that he did. Here he goes.
Hey, guys, it's David. What happened last night, I believe, with the throwing of the garbage and all that, is just a result of the fan base getting tired of being harassed on social media, being called trash, and the Atlanta front office, even on their Twitter feed, not even giving us the decency of giving us any praise or anything that you will do to a fellow opponent that will be nice. They actually even used Jason Christ's comments congratulating them on the win, as basically they ridicule him on their Twitter feed. So I will have to say that we need to stop putting pressure on our team to win these games against Atlanta United, because what they're doing is just creating unnecessary pressure. We have to play these games like any other game. Play them to win, and that's it. We lost by one goal, not the end of the world. It was a PK that was questionable, and just dust off and move on. And that's basically all we have to do. And maybe we'll win against them next time, maybe not. But nonetheless, we have to focus on being in the top six at the end of the season. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
David, I think you follow too many Atlanta United fans.
Yeah, you got to stop following those guys, bro.
I mean, it's pretty bad that you know
they like
everything.
Tweets. No, I mean,
oh man,
it's a culmination. The fans, it was a culmination of the bad refereeing. Like I said it too many dang times. It was a culmination of a lot of other things too. So.
You know, if that wasn't Atlanta, if everything went exactly the same and it wasn't Atlanta, I guarantee you none of that would have happened.
That's what
it's
I said.
Because Atlanta gets a ton of calls. Yeah. They have 8 penalties in 11 games.
You mean if all that went down, they wouldn't have been throwing trash in Atlanta?
No.
Yeah, I agree
no,
with
they
you.
No,
they
wouldn't
have thrown
Atlanta.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone down from the
it's
fans
the hype.
To the players on the field, everybody was too, they were just too amped.
And welcome to the soccer culture. And that's what I love.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I'm glad we get them at home twice this year, because we kind of get to get settled in that way. I got news for everybody. If we're going to advance in the playoffs, there's a good darn chance that it's going to go through Atlanta United. So, we're going to have to. Yeah, I'm not scared of them either, but we're going to have to ease in. And these players, they got to realize that we can beat these guys. You know, they're not that head and shoulders above everybody else. So, I'm happy with the second half. I know Jason Kreis is happy with the second half, and that's a step forward.
All right, we have a text message that came in today from Papi.
Yeah.
He didn't call in. He sent a text message. Greetings from Puerto Rico.
I got to do the frog sound, the cookie sound.
Cookie. There are 3 undefeated folks, Rocky Marciano, Floyd Mayweather, and Popeye the Sailor Man.
My dad loves Popeye the Sailor Man.
So we lost. Use pressure with proper technique, no hands. And last but not least, Atlanta have players that can star in Westworld. One touch and they fall like they were shot by a sniper. Go Lions. Yeah. Thank you, Poppy. Yeah.
My dad loves Popeye the Sailor Man. Good point, Dad.
They got a lot of South Americans on their team, so what else do you expect?
Yeah. Argentina falls. They fall quickly.
There are no better floppers in the world than the South Americans.
Yeah,
all together.
Just research the Falkland Islands war against the British.
I mean, even our worst floppers. You know, Higuita is one of the worst ones. So,
well, we saw what El Munir hardly got touched. And,
I think that was
hamstring.
That was
knee.
Those darn Libyans.
Yeah.
All right, let's go real quickly to the preview for this Friday night against Toronto. No Giovinco, no Altidore. What do you guys think? Give me your predictions.
I feel weird about it. We feel like we should win, but it feels like a trap game. It's on the road, a short week. They can still score without those guys. They won without Josie a ton. Now, Josie and Giovinco, that's different, but I think we're going to win, but it's not going to be as easy or as pretty as people think. I'm going to give it a 2-1 Orlando win.
Okay, I guess I'll go. I feel it like a trap game, like you're saying, Eddie. But they still got plenty of they got Ricketts, Vasquez, they got Zorio, they got plenty of weapons. I'm going to be safe. I'm going to say a 1-1 tie. That's what I'll say.
I have to go.
Yeah, go ahead, Alex. That's all you pay the big bucks.
Toronto's on the snide. They've been very good this year. They're the defending champs. They don't have Giovinco or Altidore. I think they kick-started against us. I think Toronto beats us 2-0.
Oh, damn.
At home.
You don't think we're going to score? We're going to score.
I think I'd love for us to score, but you're going up to Toronto. It's a tough place to play. I don't think we've had really good luck there ever in Toronto. So, I mean, no Giovinco is nice, but still got plenty of guys. 2-0, Toronto. I think this is one of those, like, built-in games where, you know, they're gonna get off. They're the defending champions, so they're going to get off the schneid at some point. They're going to start winning games. They're at home. We're on a short week off of a rivalry game. 4 days till the next game, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you're already in Toronto, so 2-0.
Clint.
I'm going to go 2-2 draw, and I think they tie it up last second. I think we should take three, and we give up a late one.
Okay. All right.
And I'll actually take that.
Yeah,
I'll
take 1 point in Toronto.
You get points on the road. And 3 points at home, you're going to be okay in this league.
All right, guys. Well, we went way over time today.
Not really.
No.
Oh, we got more time?
You got no, more
y'all,
time.
Y'all have gotten worse than that before.
Y'all, you're here too, buddy.
I was like, I wasn't here for that episode.
All right, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Orlando Lions In Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes also.
And rate and review. That'll get us kind of, you know, up there in the rankings.
Correct. We're on Stitcher, and we're also on Google Play. Uh-huh. So you can also download it on those. Go ahead, Alex.
Don't forget about Lions Pride for the away games. Plugging in. I have no relation to Lions Pride, but I went there the last time. You get 10% off for every goal that we score. If my prediction comes true, I'll be paying full price. But it's a great time. If you get there early, especially, you can get a good seat. Great atmosphere. Everybody wants to know where you go watch games. If you're going to not watch in your house, there's not really a good place to go except the bar. And
that's right there on Church Street, right there in downtown Orlando, right across from Hamburger Mary's, right next to the railroad track.
If you're confident that we're going to score a ton of goals, come out, because if we score five, it's 50% off, and they'll give it to you.
So what happens if you score 11? Do they give you money?
I think that's the whole meal probably comped. I think that is literally the worst nightmare. That's like 110. That would be on national news the next day. So,
all right, guys. Once again, check us out on OrlandoLionsDen.com also, or on Twitter. We're at Orlando Lions Den. Facebook, Orlando Lions Den. We're all over the place. So until next time.
Thank you, guys.
Mojiquita maybe more party?
No, Mojiquita Mo Party.
And everybody remember to recycle their trash.
That's yes. Right.
Let's not throw it out on the garbage. The plastic. Or the pitch or whatever.
Recycle.
Thanks for everything, guys. Love you.
All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll see you next week right here on Orlando Lions Den Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Until next time, be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook and at OrlandoLionsDen.com.